Yes, this evening. God bless you tonight. Welcome to PBFC. We're glad that you're here. For those of you that haven't been in our Bible studies, it's a pretty open Bible study. You're certainly welcome to raise your hand if you have a question or a comment. You're welcome to do so. We can't give you the floor for the whole evening because if we do that, I won't be teaching. Amen. But we do welcome comments and questions if you might have them. So if I don't mean to try to pass over you, I try to make sure that we teach and try to get what God has put in our heart. And I welcome everybody here tonight. We're glad to have you. What did we talk about last week? Thank you, Daniel. The power of agreement. Amen. We took from the writings of Jesus where he said, if any two or three agree as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be done. Praise the Lord. Power of agreement. We talked about how that if a house is divided, it cannot stand. And how can two be in agreement or walk together if they not be in agreement? Amen. We talked about how that it's important to make sure that we set ourselves in agreement one with another. Now, how many have found this week, because of our study last week, you found yourself wanting to be in agreement with one another to see God do things in your life? Anybody besides me? You in other words, you begin to realize it's important that since Christ put such an emphasis on this, that we need to learn to come into agreement with one another and expect. Amen? To set ourselves in agreement. I found myself, as people were requesting prayer, I begin to respond in that way. I'm going to set myself in agreement with you for this need. Because I believe in that. How many believe it? I mean, if Jesus Christ is speaking it, that these things will come to those who will set themselves in agreement, then I am going to, as a purpose with intent, I'm going to set myself, excuse me, in agreement so that we might recognize and see the hand of God move in our lives. You know, it's very important to me, and I hope it is to you. We've talked a lot about being fruitful, producing fruit, having fruit in our lives. And I want our prayer lives to be fruitful. I want our prayer lives to be fruitful. I see no reason. I know that prayer is a communication between God and us and God, right? It's a conversation with the Lord. And so I don't want it to seem like that we're only looking at what we can receive in that, because I certainly believe it's a communication vehicle. But I do want to make sure that our prayer lives are effective prayer lives or fruitful prayer lives. So that if you come to me and you have a prayer need, and I set myself in agreement with you and you set yourself in agreement with me, we can know then that God has made a promise to meet our needs. Amen? Amen. And that we can have an expectation. Everybody say expecting. Expecting. We're talking about having faith to believe. Trusting in, relying on. Expecting that whatever we pray and believe, that we can have an earnest expectation to know that God hears us and that God answers our prayer. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being greedy, church. I'm talking about believing God. I'm looking forward to miracles. How many want to see some miracles? I'm looking forward to the supernatural of God to break forth in our lives, and we experience all that God says is ours as children of God. Amen. I want God to show up in our lives in areas of extraordinary gifts and blessings to his people. Amen. So that people will recognize God is moving among them. Amen. God is moving among them, and we begin to experience what God has for us. And I want to be a catalyst to bring encouragement for you and I to begin to trust God like we've never trusted him before. I don't want to look to the arm of the flesh. Come on, church. I don't want to look to our own ideas of how we think we're going to make it happen, because what if God doesn't? I would rather believe that God's going to. And we begin to see God do what he does because of who he is. You know, I talk to different ones who have gone outside of the country of the United States, and they go into missionary trips, and they go onto foreign soil, and God shows up. blind eyes are open and deaf ears are unstopped and people who are crippled get up and they're healed. And I've got to tell you, I'm envious of that. Because God is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So we're going to talk a little bit about those types of things. Mark chapter 11, this is not an unfamiliar passage. In fact, I've spoken on it before, but it just bears repeating. It bears teaching. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, those things that you pray for. And so whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Everybody say believe.
Believe.
Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. And I'm not talking about trying to hit a quota. I'm going to pray 2 hours today because 120 minutes of positioning yourself and really not praying is not praying at all. You know, I used to think years ago I wanted to pray religiously. Are you with me? And I would set a time early of the morning and I got up early to begin with, and I would try to get up earlier and I would pray. And some of you guys have heard this, and this is truthfulness. I would get on my knees before the Lord and I'd fall asleep. You know, a time passed, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. It wasn't effective prayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can, and you know, sometimes it becomes a position of boasting. Pride enters in. Are you hearing me? How many hours a day do you pray? Well, how many hours do you pray? I pray 2 hours a day. Well, I pray 2 hours and 20 minutes a day. Well, I prayed 3 hours yesterday. Well, I prayed 3 hours and 5 minutes yesterday. What were you believing? Because I'll tell you the truth, 5 minutes that gets God's answer is all that's really needed. Amen. I'm not suggesting let's not pray, and I'm not talking about disciplining yourself and learning to pray in discipline. I'm not saying that that's not important, because it is. But I am talking about having fruit that is the result of what we're praying for. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Ask, desire, request. It's all coming from the same word in the Greek. And all in context of prayer and faith. And yet some people, when they pray, don't do any of them. They don't ask. They don't make any request. They don't speak their desire. They just complain. Did you hear me? How many of you could check somebody's prayer list? It's more of a series of complaints than requests. Are you listening to me? They whine to God and they call it prayer. Come on. I want to develop a prayer life to where it's effective. Amen. That whatever I'm asking in faith, believing that God is doing, I don't want to go through the motions of spending so many times so I can check it off. I used to, in my earlier days of Christianity, I almost felt like I needed to have a checklist with God that I check off if I spent so much time in God's Word and so much time in prayer every day and so much time in fastings and so much time in service and almost like, well, okay, I got that off my list. Whew, what a relief. Got that off my list. Whew, what a relief. But are we making a difference? You know, if I spend 20 hours a week in prayer and I spend no time in hours a week in service, if I'm not loving people as I'm supposed to love them, if I'm not developing in my walk with Christ, if I'm not growing in my faith, amen. But their prayers don't get answered because they don't have any faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And I know this is going to sound funny, but God hears faith. God responds to faith. I've tried to speak to you concerning the concept of obedience. And I know that, that in some they might believe that this is sacrilegious or it is incorrect. And I want you to catch the heart of what I'm speaking. When I tell you that God does not respond to your obedience, that does not say don't be obedient. We ought to be obedient, but obedience is nothing more and nothing less than the result of our faith. If a man has faith, then you show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith with works. In other words, you show me that you're a man or a woman of God that is in service to the Lord, then there will be faith will produce the works in your life. But God does not bless the works of your life. God blesses the faith of your life. You say, God, how many have tried to make deals with God? Anybody besides me? Come on, let me see a few honest hands. Come on, let me make sure we're in the right place. Have you tried to make deals with God? God, if you will, I will. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Right? You know, God, if you'll do this, Lord, this is what I promised to do for you. We think God somehow is related to Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. God's not interested in God's looking for faith. The Bible says when Jesus returns, will he find faith? He's not when he returns, will he find obedience? Are you hearing me? He's not looking. Now I know that the Bible says if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You understand? I get that. But God's not saying when you pray, obey. When you pray, believe. Because what you believe will determine how you live. What you really believe will produce obedience in your life. But the key is faith. His desire is aroused by your believing. But whining doesn't even get his attention. Come on, we've all done it, haven't we? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. We get in an attitude of complaining because, and sometimes if we're not careful, those prayer lists become nothing but a list of complaints and whines. I'm upset about this thing going on in my life. And come on, you got to learn to believe your way through it. Believe God to change your circumstances. We were just kind of, it's humorous this evening. We were just kind of just being funny out there. We were talking about, they were asking how things are going. And I said, man, things are great. I don't know how they can be better. And Dave says, well, if somebody walked in and handed $1 million, I said, well, that's circumstantial, but I got to admit, for the moment of the circumstance, because I could see automatically some things we could do with $1 million. I mean, somebody walk in. I mean, I got to tell you, we buy more rock, you know, more bark. That's what I'm talking about, you know. So, yeah, circumstantial, but it doesn't change who we are, right?
Okay.
Remember the man in John chapter 5. Had infirmity for 38 years. He was waiting for the troubling of the waters by the pool of Bethesda. How many know the story? Right? He's there waiting for a miracle. Jesus came to him and asked him very directly, do you want to be made well? Matter of fact, straight to the point, what do you want? What do you want from God? What do you want God to do? I get kind of a kick of this particular story. This man was focusing on the problems. 38 years of infirmity, no one willing to put him in the water when it was first troubled. Someone was always jumping in front of him, right? Focusing on the issue, not focusing on the miracle. Not even focused on what God had just asked him. Would you want me to make you well? Do you want something from God? Do you need something from God? Your faith is what needs to be released to God. And God will release what he has to you. It's your faith. Amen. If any two of you will agree, touching any one thing that you shall ask, it shall be done. It is a release in faith. It is a release in agreement. God wants to do it. Can I tell you, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed? Can I tell you, God wants to meet your need more than you want your need met? Can I tell you, God wants you to receive healing more than you need to be healed? Amen. My wife used to tell me every time I would use that dirty word budget. We talk budget, my wife would say to me, every time we try to talk budget, she would say, doesn't God own the cattle on a thousand hills? Right? Come on, how many knows that the earth is the Lord's and everything in this earth belongs to God? James 1 and 17 says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father. How many realize that God is not short in anything? There's no lack in God. There's nothing too hard for God. With men, these things may be impossible. With God, all things are possible. Do I have any believers in the house? Yes. Come on, are we ready to trust God to do the impossible? Yes. You know, if we can do it, God doesn't need to get involved. I mean, if we can just go through life and we've got everything handled, come on, I've got this, I don't need, and then God just said, okay. But anytime it takes faith, then God's got to get involved in that. Amen. Well, the solution to this man's problem was standing right in front of him. How many know there's a miracle in the house? How many realize there's a miracle worker in the house? There is a God who can provide anything and everything in the house. Amen. He's here. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that would see to it. Provision is made. Amen. He is Jehovah Nisi. The banner over us is love. Amen. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there all the time. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the Lord my righteousness. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Come on, can anybody get an understanding? God is here. Whatever you have need of, he is here to meet your need. I mean, that's why Peter said, cast all of your cares on him. Because why? He cares for you. Amen. Amen. The very promise of what was needed in this man stood right in front of him. Here he is looking around. I've got infirmities. I've got problems. Look at this. His infirmity was bigger than his faith. You know what I've dealt with years of being in business and years of being in commission sales. And one of the things that I found out early in career before I stepped into full-time ministry, if I wasn't careful, I lose sight of the potential of sales because I was too focused on my lack at that moment. I needed to make a sale because we had a rent check that needed to go out, or a mortgage check, or a car payment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I'm not careful, I'm focusing on what I don't have, that I can't even see how to get to where I can make that extra sale because my mind is already negative. I've told people that are in sales or in business like that, they need to do something on a regular basis to stimulate their thinking so that they'll begin to look to that next customer. You'll even, if you're not careful, you'll size up a customer based on what that customer looks like, think that customer doesn't have any money. You don't even want to go and greet them because you're worried about, you want to take time to worry about what you don't have. Never forget, this happened. The true story, I was working for Montgomery Ward's before I started Grand Auto. I was a commissioned salesman in the automotive division of Grand Auto, where Denny's is now, by the way. And it was close to the end of the afternoon. My shift was going to be over in about an hour. My sales were not where they needed to be, and I was a little bummed by that, being honest with you. And a gentleman came in that didn't look like he had anything. And it was my rotation. It was my time to go up. And I thought, oh, God, couldn't you bring me somebody that has a little money? That's what I was thinking, you know. But it was my rotation. I walked up and greeted the individual. And all, wouldn't you know, he wanted me to quote him tires and wheels. And I'm thinking, this is going to take forever. This guy doesn't have any money. It's a waste of time. I could sure be doing something more productive than this, like worrying about how I'm not going to pay my rent. And finally I get it to the point, and I knew how to close a deal, so I bring him right to it. I'm ready to write the contract. He says, "Well, write it up." I looked at him like, "What?" He says, "Write it up." It was like $1,500. This is back a long time ago. That was a lot of money. And the guy pulled out cash. Nothing but hundreds. Boy, it was music to my eyes, let me tell you. I mean, he just started laying those hundreds down and paid cash for that whole thing. I was excited. Circumstantial. It was a circumstantial, but his infirmity was bigger than his faith. And then I love the blame game. None of us ever do this. But you know, we're always looking for someone else to be the miracle rather than look to God. You know, I've told you guys, it's very important that you that are still in the workforce don't look at your jobs as your provision. Look at God as your provision. The job is nothing but the vehicle that God has used to put provision in your life, but He is your provider. You see, what the guy said is, well, the problem is, I don't have anyone that will come at the right time to help me get where I need to be. I'm always needing somebody rather than God. Remember, Jesus was standing right in front of him. Are you catching the picture here? He really wasn't having an opportunity here. God said to him, Jesus said to him, "What is it you want? Do you want to be made well?" Well, here's the problem. I've been in this condition for 38 years. There's the problem. Second thing is, I don't have anybody. I'm blaming somebody else for the fact that I'm the way I am. It's my dad's fault. We want to compare notes? I can tell you about a bad dad. You want to do it? We'll blame dad. It's dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. It's this reason's fault. It was my first grade teacher's fault. Somebody told me I was stupid. Get over it. I don't have the somebody that I needed when I needed the somebody. And here I am 38 years later, sitting at the same place I've been for 38 years. Isn't it sad? You know, we talk about making that trip, right? Around that mountain. Come on, anybody been around the mountain more than once? Come on, haven't we all in some place in our walk? Here we go again. I thought I learned that lesson, right? I thought I'd got there, right? I'm never going to be tempted with that ever again. How many have ever made a promise to God? Anybody besides me? I made that promise, God. I'm never going to look. I'm never going to do. I'm never ever going to be. I'm not going to be brought there again. I'm not. I could have looked at anybody. I wasn't looking at you in particular. But here, let me get my backpack out so we can go around the mountain one more time. Right? Come on. We've walked. Hey, you know what? We've walked so long. I know I kicked that stone, that very same stone. I've been around this mountain so many times. If God had just put somebody in my life that would put me in the water when it's time. Blame God, nobody. Blame game. It's always somebody else's fault you're not as close to God as you ought to be. It's always somebody else's fault. If just the pastor would have taught the lesson a little better than he did, I would have got it. If somebody else would pray the prayer of faith for me. If somebody else would have. It's always somebody. That's what it was for this guy in John chapter 5. It was always a blame game. And then the last part of it was just plain jealousy. I know we don't ever do this in church. I can't believe God baptized that person in the Holy Spirit and they're already speaking in tongues. I've been seeking and pressing and pushing and begging and pleading and giving. And I don't have the Holy Ghost baptism yet. How come they're already blessed? I just saw them buy a brand new car. How come they got that new car? I've been faithful and I don't have a new car. They just closed a deal on another house. What was wrong with the other house they had? I can't even get the first house and they already got two houses. Listen to what John chapter 5 said. Every time when that water first troubles, somebody always gets in that water before I do. Somebody always steps, they're always one step ahead of me. I hate it when somebody gets a hold of God and I can't get a hold of God. I hate it. You know, we'll be right in the middle of worship, we're just having a time, and all of a sudden we look around, we wonder, I don't feel one thing. Look at everybody else, they're feeling God. How come I'm not feeling God? How come I'm not getting what they're getting? How come God seems to be blessing them and not blessing me? Remember who was right in front of this man. You see, the problem was this man was only focused on what was wrong in his life and why he thought he was in that condition for 38 years. How many realize it's time we change our minds a little bit? You got to change something. If you're experiencing the same problem for 38 years, sometime there's got to be a change that takes place. Something, you know, I've used the story, you know, I've thought many times, man, I mean, if I've got close to the water for 38 years, I'd have done something to get in that water. I mean, if I could get close enough to get by the water for 38 years, I got to guarantee you, I'm going to get so close to the edge, I'll just fall in. I mean, at some point in 38 years, I think I would have learned how to get in the water first. I mean, I may not win every race I'm in. I know I've got this infirmity that's keeping me back from things that I think I ought to be and do. But at some point, I ought to be able to roll my way at least a little bit closer to the water. And so finally, I know exactly when that water is going to trouble. I've been watching it now for 38 years. I think I ought to learn something. But as long as I can blame someone and I can be jealous of people, then I can always stay in the same condition and just, it's not my fault. Matthew 20. I told you guys, I've been in the Amplified. I've been loving it. Man, I've been enjoying it. As they were going out of Jericho, a great throng accompanied him. This is Jesus Christ. And behold, two blind men were sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have pity and mercy on us, you son of David." I love this, don't you? They are amongst, and there's this large crowd that is following Jesus, and they're following his teachings, and by the way, they're following his miracles, and they're following his provision, and they're following the manifestations. Are you hearing me? They are blessed by what Jesus is doing and by all of his teachings and by all of the love they're experiencing, and they're having a wonderful church. Are you hearing me? And they're following this, and here as they are on their journey, there are two blind men sitting off to the side, and when they hear the enthusiasm and they know Jesus has passed by, they cry out, "Lord, have pity and mercy on us, you son of David. Have pity and mercy on us, you son of David." The crowds reprove them, begin to rebuke them and say, "Stop it. You're troubling the Lord." Have you ever felt like, I can't take it to God? He's a busy God. He's just too busy for me. I don't want to bother him with this headache. I don't want to bother him. You know, there are 7 billion people on planet Earth. And I don't want to trouble the Master. I don't want to trouble the Lord. He's got all these other people that have bigger needs than my needs. I don't want to bother him. I don't want to trouble him. And so they begin to rebuke these two men. They told them, keep still. But look what they did. They didn't just do it. They got louder. You see, they were afraid that Jesus would just bypass them. Lord! Lord! The squeaky wheel gets the... Amen. Come on, you got something you need from God, man? Get a hold of God. We used to use a term years ago, getting a hold of the horns of the altar. The concept of that was is when they would there would be places that would have what they would be ram's horns. And they would grab onto those horns and they would press. And they would ask and they would press to God because they wanted to make sure that what they were asking from God was going to be answered. And you know, you would get, there used to be what was called the push formula. How many remember that? Push. Pray until something happens. You didn't stop until God responded to what you were asking. Have anybody ever had to ask God more than once? Thank you. There was four hands raised in the house. I'm just wondering if I'm in the right place sometimes. I don't know. Lord, have pity and mercy on us, you son of David. And Jesus stopped. I want God to stop, don't you? Yeah. Amen. I know he's going to meet Violet's need because he's omnipresent, so he's going to be meeting her need. But when I need him, I need him to stop for my need right there. Amen. I need him right when I need him. I need him to stop. I need to tell him what I have need of. And so he stopped, and he called them and asked, what do you want me to do for you? Can I just tell you guys, would you just let this soak into your spirit, man, right now, right where you're at? God is asking you right now. Glory to God. God is asking every single one of you. Here is his question. What is it that you would have me do for you? He is El Shaddai. It's another name for God. The God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Is there anything, God would say, too hard for me? Is there anything I cannot do? See, Paul caught this. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you might ask or even think. This is a God of more than enough. Praise the Lord. The God that is more than sufficient. That's why when we talk grace, because we understand the sufficiency of grace, where sin avails, if sin abounds, grace what? It super abounds. Amen. In other words, there's nothing greater than God. God surpasses everything. He says, he asks him, he says, what is it you would like for me to do for you? They answered him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Right to the point. God, I need you to touch my body. I need healing. God, I need you to fix my marriage. God, I need you to save my children. Come on, church. I need you to heal my father. I need you to set somebody free who's bound in addiction. I need you to deliver this one. I need... Come on. Does anybody got a need? Come on. Does anybody need to ask God to do something for you in your life? I need my spouse saved. I need my spouse nice. Come on. Has anybody got anything you need to ask God? Right? Bo, don't say I looked at you now. I did not do that. Okay. Come on. Notice the specifics. I need my eyes opened. Amen. God, I need a deposit in my bank account. Yes.
I have to say, my God has been praying for her family. He was
Come on.
She prayed for a miracle. And for weeks, the pain was gone. I mean, we went to doctor after doctor, and they couldn't help it. And finally, this doctor said, I can operate, but you may not live through it. You're too old. You're too worn out. The pain left him. He kept saying, the pain's gone. I don't have pain in my leg. One day, we told him, and she said, that's a miracle. I didn't pray.
Come on. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. How many know we serve a miracle worker? Amen. Praise God. You know, Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Doctor says, here's the bad notice. Say, well, that's not the final authority. I'm going to God. Amen. Bank says, I'm overdrawn. I'm going to God. Whose report? How many could stand a deposit in your bank account? Anybody here? See, I just had a deposit, but I'll take a little extra. Amen. Amen. I love this. We want our eyes open. And I love this. And Jesus, in pity, he touched their eyes. And instantly, how many could use an instantly? Does anybody here need an instantly? I know that we're taught that we need to wait on the Lord, and I'm not saying that we don't wait on God. Oh. You ever grown weary of waiting? The Bible says, don't become weary in doing well, for in due season you will reap if you don't quit. And you think, yeah, I'm waiting, God, but I could sure use an instantly. Amen? You know, we love the process, don't we? Don't we love the process? For we know all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called as according. That's the process. And we're going, I'm sick of the process. Yes, Ken. Yeah. Why is it 8 hours at work drags? 8 hours doing something you love just right now, right? Yeah, you know, I mean, how many could use an instantly? Is there anybody in the house that could use an instantly right now? I mean, you could just instant. See, that's what he says. Instantly they received their sight. And they followed him. Instantly. Amen. I love the instant of God as well. I know there's a time where we'll say this, and really what we do many times is we try to make excuse for our lack of faith. Well, you know, God is doing it. It's just going to take some time. I'm not going to discourage you and try to tell you that sometimes things don't happen. I think that God sometimes shows up at the 11th hour because God's not a measuring of time as we do. And so, and sometimes it is. It seems like it's at the last minute. And we think, you know, thank God you came at the time you did. And I know your time is not my time, but boy, I'd sure like an instant. Yes. You know, that's true too. There's a time when God does say no. And that's why it really helps when you know what God's word says. Therefore, you know how to ask. Amen. So you're not wavering, right? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not asking amiss. Amen. You probably don't need a Ferrari. You know, a Pinto would do just fine. I'm kidding. All right. Nobody here would please ask for a Pinto. All right. So let's take our text and we're going to back it up to the verse right before. Mark 11:23 says, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain. Does anybody here have a mountain you need to speak to in your life? Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say this mountain? You got a this mountain. A this mountain is just anything in your life that you know that God needs to move out of your life. It can be anything, you understand. It can be a struggle you're going through. It can be a habit you're trying to overcome. It can be a temptation you're wanting victory over. It can be whatever. It's a mountain. It's a struggle. It's something that you keep coming up against. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been here before and you keep coming against it, and you know that God's plan and will and desire in your life is to have that mountain out of your life. Yeah. You know the heart of God is for that mountain not to be there. So Jesus said that you could speak to your mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. And I love this. So I highlighted and underlined it. Does not doubt at all. Does not doubt at all. Does not doubt at all. Does not doubt. How many are getting it? You understand? I keep repeating it. How many are starting to get that? Does not doubt at all in his heart. There's no doubt, but believes. Everybody say believes. That what he says will take place, and it will be done for him. It will be done for him. So that's 23. 24th, which is our main text scripture tonight, says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe. Whatever you're going to pray for, you must have the faith that who you're praying to, willing, able, and competent to accomplish what you're asking. You've already answered the questions of, is it God's will? Because you've checked the scripture to find out if what you're asking lines up with his word. So you already know you're not praying amiss. You already know that you're not praying outside of the will of God. You're asking within the will of God. Are you hearing me? So then if you believe, you trust and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Now I hope you guys are catching what I'm feeling in my spirit. If every man and woman that's here, every boy and every girl that's here, connects your faith to the power of God in what we're doing, and we all receive the same release from the heavenlies. Can you guys begin to catch a vision here for just a moment? What that looks like to us. When what is seen in the spirit is manifest in the natural. In the tangible. Amen. It did not take 1 ounce of faith for any of you to sit down on these pews. Because it's tangible, it's physical, it's here. When what is in the spiritual now manifests itself in the physical. Amen. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Amen. My children may not be serving the Lord right now, but I already see them saved. I already see them with their hands raised up, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. I already see it. Amen. I see it in the spirit. It may not be in the physical yet, but I'm already believing it before it's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You are already saving my children. Glory to God. Anybody getting that? Yes. What is seen in the spirit manifest in the physical. Glory to God. Hasn't happened yet in the physical, but I'm already thanking him because it's already done. Right? It's already done. Glory to God. I'm already experiencing the joy bumps because God's already said it's done. Amen. It's going to be granted. You're going to get it. All right. Let's take for a few moments. Let's talk about the woman that had the issue of blood. Matthew chapter 9, this is repeated in Mark chapter 5. The fifth chapter of Mark, Mark does a little bit better job explaining what she went through to get to where she was. Matthew doesn't go into the detail of that, but they both come up with the same story. She said, the Amplified uses the term, she kept saying to herself. How many encourage yourself more often than not? You know, that is a biblical principle. Encourage yourself. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Come on, sometimes you can't get a hold of somebody to encourage you. You need to learn to encourage yourself. Amen. I believe in encouraging one another, but there's times when you just need to get alone with God and by his word and through his spirit, you need to get some encouragement from yourself. Amen. Begin to just say, I know that I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I know that my sins have been blotted out. Praise the Lord. I know that I'm not only forgiven, but I'm established. Glory to God. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I am His righteousness. I've been made holy and clean, and God has His hand upon me and is good upon me, and He's enlarging my... How many know it? You're just encouraging yourself. Man, you'll just all of a sudden get so happy. Amen. You'll get so happy. How many have ever done that? Man, I'll almost have church all by myself. I'm like, that is some good stuff. You know, I listened to the message that I preached, that I taught last week on the praying of agreement. I was so excited. That preacher was on fire. I'm like, that guy is good. I was encouraging myself. I'm going, man, I received that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I was paying attention to what I was saying. Are you hearing me tonight? Sometime you got to just be able to preach to yourself and encourage yourself. Come on. Amen. She kept saying to herself, if I can just touch His garment, I'm going to be restored to perfect health. She has spent everything she had is in Mark. She had nothing left. She had gone to everything under the sun to get well, and she grew only worse. But she caught a glimpse of the Lord. And she knew the only answer was Jesus Christ and none other. How many found out the only answer is Jesus Christ? There's no other hope in anything else. How many know that? You can't find it in religion. You got to find it in relationship. You can't find it through going through the over and over things of just what you think is right. You got to find the one that made things right. You can't be moral enough to be good enough for God. You need God to make you good. Amen. So she said, if I can get to Him, if I can touch Him. And how many need to touch the Master? Don't you just need to touch Him? Praise God. If I can touch Him, my health will be restored. And follow the story. She got down and she pressed through the crowd and she pressed through the crowd and she pressed to the crowd. And she reached up and she took hold of His garment. Jesus turned and He said, your faith. I love this. Come on, guys. Are you getting it? He didn't even take credit, even though He was the healer. Are you there? He is the healer. He is the provider. Are you there? He's the miracle worker. Are you there? But Jesus looked at her and said, your faith healed you. Your faith made the difference. Come on, I want some supernatural faith to take place in this house. I want men and women of God to begin to experience water walking faith. Get out of the boat. Get on the water and start following what God has for your life and experiencing the abundance of God. Yes. Love it. Amen. 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 How many want to just stop the devil straight in his tracks? I mean, he comes to your house and you say, you know what? In Jesus' name, I stop you. I'm taking authority. You don't come nigh my house. No harm, no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no curse. It stops. Come on, we got a miracle worker, don't we? Her health was restored because her faith connected with Jesus Christ. It was her faith. Matthew 7:7. This is in the Amplified. I love it. Keep on asking and it will be given you. Look at your neighbor and say, keep on asking. And then I love this. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on seeking. Yes. Don't stop. Don't stop. Do I have anybody here willing to keep pressing? Do I have anybody willing to keep pushing? Do I have anybody in the house that's going to keep searching for whatever God has for you? I'm determined to be determined. I'm with intent. I have intention of, I'm not giving up. I'm in fact, I'm picking up speed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not slowing down in my experience with God. I'm going to move faster. I'm going to pick up because I know God's got a plan for my life. There's an urgency. There's an atmosphere of expectation in the house. And I know that God's going to bless us and I'm going to be right where God is. Amen. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. Glory to God. How many feel like there's a door God's getting ready to open on your behalf? Come on. Amen. There's a door that God has. You've been faithful. You've stood for God. You have asked and you've kept asking. You sought and you keep seeking and you've knocked and you keep knocking. And you know there's a door that God's ready to open. We're not talking about door number one, door number two, or door number three, and where there might be a cow behind you, unless you want a cow. There might be something there that you don't think you want. I mean, God has a plan for your life. Something is incredibly powerful getting ready to happen for you. James 4 and 2. This whole thing is about the wrong motives and the wrong, sometimes if we're not careful, we don't check ourselves a little bit. How many realize that sometimes our attitudes are not what they ought to be? Does anybody get that? You know, you just occasionally, sometimes if you're not careful, you'll covet for things that belong to somebody else and you ought not to be coveting for them. Man, let them get whatever they get and then know that God's got something for you as well. Rather than getting upset because somebody got something that you don't think they deserved. And you're so preoccupied in what they've got and what you don't have, you've lost consciousness of what God is doing. You've lost sight of some things. So that's really what this is all about. But in the middle of this, and toward, as James is establishing where our heart ought to be, where our thoughts ought to be. See, I need to learn to rejoice when you rejoice. I need to rejoice with you when you share a testimony of God's provision, rather than the back of my mind going, that's really wonderful, I'm glad to hear it. And in the back of my mind going, well, you really deserve that, don't you? You know, the rich just keep on getting richer. It's really nice that you just got that other blessing. Yeah, because I already know you were already blessed before you got it. You know, and come on, I just like to get real, you know, because occasionally we get a wrong attitude. And then when you weep, I need to weep with you, feel with you and understand you've had a rough time and I'm with you to pray you out of it. So then James finishes this, you don't have because you don't ask. It's not that God doesn't know. Doesn't God? It's not that God. But He's wanting you and I to talk to Him. God, I need to grow. I need to grow. We were in our leadership Sunday night, and our speaker spoke to us, and he said, "Leaders are feeders." I like that, man. Feeders. If you're a leader, you got to be a feeder. Leaders are feeders. How many realize that in order for me to feed you, I got to eat a lot? You understand? I've got to take in a lot so I can give out a lot. Are you with me? Come on, I got to receive a lot so I can give a lot. Are you hearing me? Amen. And so I need to say, God, I need to grow. Because I got to bring some people through some growth. Amen. I need to see. I need to be able to grow. And I need to have vision. I need to have insight. We begin to pray for those things you have not because you don't ask. Amen. God has such good things. Amen. Yes. Because of choices, there you are. And we know that, yeah, I love that. Don't you guys? That's good. We know that God's grace is sufficient, right? And we know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God has delivered us out of them all. And the Bible says that, think it not strange when the fiery trials come upon you, as though some strange thing. But we know the victorious one. And the Bible said, but thanks be to God who has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. And in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Can I tell you, I am not an unhappy believer. I am not a miserable Christian. I want you to know that I am thriving. I am not just surviving. Amen. Amen. Come on, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Come on, we need to walk this. Amen. This is a good life. The Bible says that He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Yes. God bless you. How big was the motorhome? How big is the motorhome? Please tell me it was like 150 feet. I love that. Shouldn't we expect this? Come on, you're a king's kid. Shouldn't we expect this? Amen. How many are encouraged tonight? Do you feel encouraged in the Lord? Don't you just feel like you go kick the devil right in the teeth? Couldn't you do it? Don't you just feel like you can just walk in the power of the gospel? Come on. Don't you just feel like God's for you, not against you? Come on. Don't you feel like He's in front of you, and He's behind you, and He's right beside you, and He's in you, and He's guiding you, and He's leading you, and He's empowering you? Come on. Anybody got the victory tonight? Come on, am I talking to a church that has the victory tonight? Stand with me. God bless you. Man, haven't you had a good time? I've had a good time. If you haven't had a good time, man, just get close to me, because I've had a good time. Praise the Lord. Amen. Those who are working, by the way, on our outside of our property, man, we so appreciate you. I know some are working hard. We thank you for that. My son, I tried to get him to quit several times today because he'd worked all day long. He has worked so hard. I really, really, really appreciate him working and laboring and working hard on the property. I hope you guys see 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, anyone that just feels like they want to come and shovel, and glory to God. Oh, yes. But I hope you guys can catch a little bit of what's going on. It's going to be beautiful. I'll tell you why we're doing this. How many realize, as saints of God,